You know, our scripture reading from today, reading for today, is from the book of Genesis. I've already made the joke too much. Don't get lost in the table of contents. It's the first book in the Bible. We're looking at Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. And I challenge you to open your scriptures up because hold me accountable. I'm going to hold you accountable. The scriptures challenge us. The scriptures make us think, this can't be true. Because I have these beliefs. I was talking with my youth pastor this past week. I was down in Pittsburgh. He's at one of the clinics there. And he's been a pastor for 20 years, but he had an injury. And so I was down there talking with him because he had a brain injury, short-term memory loss. And he's going to this new church now. And, you know, we came out of the holiness movement. And so he's been talking to the new pastor there, trying to get in. And he keeps going to the pastor and saying, but isn't this how a Christian is supposed to live? And the pastor keeps saying to him, what did the Bible say? Show me that in the scriptures. And that's the point. This is why I want you to open your Bibles. I want you because we have thoughts, we have beliefs, but maybe they're not scriptural. So Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. Hear the word of the Lord. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant of my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall be your offspring. Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. So last week, we ended with Genesis chapter 13, and if I get tongue-tied, I'm sorry. Chapter 13, verses 12. This week, we're looking at Genesis chapter 15. Let me give you a brief synopsis of what happened in between 13:2 and 15. But I also encourage you to go and read it yourself. Abram was back in the promised land. He left Egypt. He was back. He was following God. He was actually back in Bethel where he had left initially. Things were going well. Abram and Lot realized that their land was not going to support all their cattle, so they divided up. Abram said, Lot, you choose. I'll give you first pick, and you go. So Lot picked. He picked a really nice land near Sodom and Gomorrah, and he went over there and hung out. Problem was, some kings didn't like what was going on, so they came in, they fought against the kings in Sodom and Gomorrah, took Lot, took his family by force, and left. Abram was told about this. He gathered his men of fighting age, went and overcame and brought Lot back. The kings were in the land were very happy that Abram had avenged them, had brought all their property back, and they tried to give a reward to Abram, and he said no. He praised God instead. And this is where we come today with the scriptures. That's why it says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. I remember when I first moved back to New England after college. I was working with Youth for Christ, and they weren't paying me. I had raised all this money, but they told me that the money that I had raised was from people that would normally have given to the organization. And even though my name was on the line, it wasn't meant for me. This left me a little frustrated. But I told myself that I was going to stay with Youth for Christ for at least 1 year. So I kept praying. I kept praying because Gordon Conwell had also accepted me about this time when I realized I wasn't getting paid. But I was a little worried, God, this is all happening too fast. I'm going to pray. But I was still frustrated like no end. How am I going to make money? I'm doing ministry for free. I've raised thousands of dollars. It's not coming to me. And it was coming to a head one Sunday while I was praying at a church service. You see, I was down in Connecticut. I was down in New Haven, down near Yale, and I'd been trying to find a church that I could go to on a regular basis, trying to find a church that I could be a part of a community of believers and pray with and hang out with. I'd already been up to Boston a few times because of a girl I was dating, but Boston to New Haven was a 2.5 to 3 hour drive. So there I was, a new church, Sunday morning, sitting in the back, praying because I couldn't sing. I couldn't worship. I was frustrated. I was frustrated because this girl whose dad told me ministers don't make money, his prophecy was coming true in my life. I didn't have any money, and that's one of the reasons why he didn't want us to get together. And I couldn't sing. All I could do was pray. And while I was praying, all of a sudden, this sense of peace came over me. And instead of the audible voice from somewhere around me, I've mentioned that before, those times where I feel schizophrenic because God's talking out loud to me. Instead of this audible voice, it was an internal voice in my head. And I really don't know which is worse. Was I crazy? But this internal voice in my head was saying to me, well, you're never going to have a lot of money. You're never going to have an abundance, but I will take care of you. And there it was, something for me to trust in, something for me to remember. But at times, during the darkest moments in my life, I have to admit it, it was hard for me to remember this promise from God. It was hard for me to look at the Lord and say, Lord, where is my provision? But as I said 2 weeks ago, it's often a lot easier to look back on your life and see how God has been working in your life than it is to look at the present or at the future. And looking back at my life, God has always been in charge. He's always provided in ways that I could never imagine. He's always provided for me in ways that I knew I didn't have to worry about where I was going to live. I didn't have to worry about where I was going to go to school, and I didn't have to worry if I was going to have enough money to eat. God's provided. I'm not wealthy, but I've always had exactly what I needed. The scriptures here say, don't be afraid. I'm your shield and your very great reward. We've been walking through Abram's life looking at how God has been working in it. In week one, we saw how God called Abram, and Abram did nothing at all to deserve this. He was an idol worshiper, but God still called him. And that's important for us to remember. God's the one at work. We are saved by grace alone through faith. And last week we saw how God is faithful. Abram left the promised land during a time of famine. Abram had his wife taken away from him by Pharaoh, but God wasn't going to let his plans be thwarted. God is faithful and he keeps his promises even when we stray. And now we're looking at Abram and this deep hurt he has. There are two ways to look at this verse. You know, this verse one, don't be afraid, Abram. We can look at it and say, Abram had just fought and defeated several kings to get Lot back, and he was worried about whether or not these kings were going to retaliate. They could have potentially gotten this other group that he had beat. They could have gone out and gotten more allies to come back and fight Abram, because Abram was already wealthy. It would have been something I would do. And that could be what's leaving Abram worried. It could be what's in the back of his mind. But we have to take the next two verses to understand the true pain and what Abram is really worried about. But Abram said, O Lord, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant of my household will inherit everything. Throughout the millennia, having an heir was the most valuable thing for a person to have. It was a way to know that your bloodline was going to get passed on. And for Abram, well, at 75 years of age, he was called out of Haran. He was called out of Ur and went into the promised land because God had said, I will give you a son. And he's older now. He's remembering God's promise that through his offspring, all the nations will be blessed. But life's gone on. He went to Egypt. He lost his wife. Then he gets her back. Then he's kicked out of Egypt. He's back in the promised land. Lot's taken away by a bunch of kings. Abram went and fought him back. And all during this time, what has to be going on in the back of his mind is this big question that's gnawing at him. But Lord, I'm old. When will I have this child, Lord? How can a man of my age have a child? How can a woman who is past childbearing age have children? How is your promise going to come true? Because all I really have, Lord, is this servant named Eleazar who's going to inherit everything I have. You know, we've been going through these times. We follow God. We all go through them. We're following God, and things start off great for most of us, but then something happens. Something causes us to question whether or not God's really in charge. Lord, I've been following you, but I just lost my job. And for the last 8 years, that's been a problem for a lot of Christians in our country. It's been a problem for a lot of people in our country, losing their job, not being able to find work because of our economic system. And I can't help but think of a friend of mine in Boston. I remember watching him over the years, and then all of a sudden I remember watching him finally get it. I'd known his family. I was his daughter's youth group leader from the time she was 11 until she went to college. And for the first 4 years, he just didn't get it. But then all of a sudden it clicked. He realized about Christ. Christ opened his eyes and he started following Jesus, going on missions trips, getting people excited, talking about Jesus everywhere he went. And he decided to join one of these book studies that we had at our church. It was on a book called Circle Maker, the concept of praying. You know, and he started praying and using the methods of just continuing with the prayer. Don't just go out there and say, Lord, I want this job and I don't want to go to Michigan. But actually rely on it and keep praying and saying, Lord, not Michigan, not Michigan, on a regular basis. And it's the concept of Circle Maker. But he started doing this. And he was questioning, and he had been questioning whether or not the job he had was the right job for him. He'd been there for years. He'd made lots of money. But through, you know, about 2 weeks into this praying, he was let go. He was a guy who was in a senior position who they loved, and they let him go. I remember talking to him, and he was like, Will, why'd this happen? I know I wasn't happy with this job, but now I don't have a job at all. He then looked at me and said, well, at least we did Dave Ramsey last year. I have money in the bank. We're not worried just yet, but I've lost my job. How do I do this? And I couldn't think but answer him, God has been preparing you since Dave Ramsey. God has been preparing you before this. You know, we all go through seasons like this. We all have these questions in our lives where we just want to go and say, God, what is happening? But the important thing for us to remember during all this is that God is in charge. God cares about you. God doesn't always work in the ways we want God to work. He doesn't always do things in the way we want things to be done. He's not a fast God, because for him, a day is like 1,000. He's not a fast food God. We have to remember this story of Abraham that we're looking at. It's a historical account that's being given to the Israelites who have just come out of Egypt. God wants to show them that even Father Abraham struggled with faith at times. Father Abraham questioned God, but God was always faithful. Scriptures go on to say, then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said to him, so shall be your offspring. Abram did not get to see the fruition of this promise. But when Joseph and his brothers went into Egypt, there were 12 families with all of that. That comes along with it. When they finally came out of Egypt, there were over 600,000 males of fighting age who were all offspring of Abram. And that's just males of fighting age. There's a debate that goes on that says that the totals were somewhere between 2.5 and 3.5 million people who were Israelites who came out of Egypt in just 600 years. That many people happen. You know, this isn't the amount of stars that are up there in the sky, but it's a good start. In just 600 years, Abraham went from one man and one woman to 3.5 potential million Israelites who are his offspring. God's promises always come true. God doesn't forget. but we get impatient. We expect that God answers us right now. I mentioned in the past how I've prayed for my brother who fell away, who was not walking the walk, and a lot of things happened that caused this. And I had kept praying for my brother, and all of a sudden a biker church catches his eye, and he starts going there. He starts going to church, and once again he's excited about following Jesus. Personally, I can't count the times in the past when my car broke down or something bad happened, and I was like, Lord, why are things not going my way? I know you said, Lord, that I will always have what I need, but it would be nice to have a bank account so that when this stuff happens, I don't have to worry about it. I wouldn't have to go into debt to fix my car. To be honest, there have been many times in Karen and my, you know, in our marriage where we were a little worried, but we always had the money we needed. You know, on the side note, the Dave Ramsey thing, I need to learn to take that into account because I am not good at this. So what did God do? I'm not good at saving money. I wasn't raised in a house where they save money. I don't know how to do it. So what happened? God provided. Gave me an awesome wife who was a billing coordinator, who knows the importance of putting money aside, and she's in charge of that because it's something she was gifted with. It's not my gift. Truth is, God always provides, and it isn't always in the way we want it to happen, but he provides it when it's needed. The issue we have to ask ourselves is, do we have faith? I've said this over and over again. God is in charge. God does all the work. There's nothing we can do to earn or lose our salvation. The question really falls on, do we have faith? Because faith is more than a belief, and we've turned the concept of belief into just a thought. I can hear people all over the world saying to their pastors, yeah, pastor, you keep telling us that Jesus did this. It's kind of like Larry the Cable Guy is how it's in my head right now. You keep telling us that there's nothing we can do to earn or lose our salvation, and that if we believe in Jesus and we believe that he's the Son of God, but it does involve more than just that notion, because Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus came to earth. Jesus did it. God saved us. There's nothing we can do. But we have to look at Abram. We have to look at his life. Abram believed the Lord and he left his family. Yeah, he messed up. He left the promised land, went to Egypt during a famine, lost his wife. But then God brought him back to the promised land. God sent him back to Bethel, because God keeps his promise. And today's scripture, we see Abram back in the promised land. Believe is more than just a thought that you have in your head. And the church for too long has pushed the idea that in order to believe, all we have to do is worry about getting people into heaven. We say that we need to worry about the soul's life after death. And this is true. We need to worry about our brothers and sisters and our family members and where they're going to go after they die. But what about the here and now? What about Christ saying that we're supposed to bring the kingdom to earth? What about Christ saying that the kingdom of earth is near? Abram believed that. And the next verse is so important because it says, Abram believed the Lord and he was credited. It was credited to him as righteousness. For Abraham, it was more than just a mental thing. He lived his life in a way that showed he believed. He left Haran, where all of his family was, where all that he was supposed to inherit was, and he went to the promised land. He lived his life following God, and even though at times he forgot, even though at times he questioned, he still lived his life for God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. God is showing the Israelites through this historical account that he's still in charge. God knows the Israelites will question. He knows that the Israelites are going to struggle. But if they continue to just seek the Lord, if they continue to follow the ways of the Lord, God will continue to bless them. And we see how soon after they get this story, this historical account, that these questions came into play. The Israelites on many occasions went to him and said, went to Moses and said, it would have been better for you to leave us in Egypt than bring us out here in the desert to die. How can they be saying this? They witnessed God bringing them out of Egypt. They witnessed the plague. They witnessed crossing the sea on dry ground. They witnessed the manna from heaven, the water out of the rock. And yet they're still asking these questions. And yet God is still keeping his promise. This should be refreshing to all of us, to know that all the great people in the Bible had hard times. They had times when they questioned God. They had times when they even doubted God. And they had times when they turned away to try to do their own thing because they lost sight of God. But in the end, we see God is always in charge. That guy I mentioned a few minutes ago who lost his job after praying, he went through some of these questions of his own. He didn't get how God could just take his job away from him. He didn't get how God could potentially put his family into a financial crisis where they could lose their house, where they could lose everything. But he kept praying that same prayer. He kept seeking the Lord. He prayed through his struggles, and after 3 months, he had a better job. One that made it so he could actually be home with his family more. One that made it so he could spend some time with his kids more before they went off to college. And one that paid more. Doesn't always happen that way. But God is in charge. If he hadn't started praying, if he hadn't started seeking the Lord's will, he would have stayed frustrated with his job, and he never would have left his job. Which is why he lost his job. God had something better in mind, and that gave him more time home with his family before his daughter went off to college. And while he questioned it when it happened, we have to look at Abram questioning right now. Abram believed that God was in charge, and he lived his life believing that God was in charge, but he still had these questions. And we need to look at ourselves, and we need to ask ourselves, do we really believe that God is in charge? Do we really believe that God has our best interest at hand, in mind? You know, it's easy for us to get the gospel wrong. For decades, centuries, and millennia, there's been this mental understanding of Scripture. People who believe in their heads that God's in charge, and they mentally believe that Jesus has died for our sins, but they've never taken that next step in belief, that of following the Lord with their all. And it's an error for church leaders who have allowed this to continue. The reform, it was great. It brought us back to the idea of the Scriptures alone, and that's a blessing. But all of a sudden, we started dividing this up. The idea of how we're saved and what we're saved to, we divided up salvation. You have your camps that argue that you're saved by grace alone, which is true. And then there's the camp that pushes a works-based righteousness, which isn't biblical. Because all throughout Scriptures, we see that we're saved by grace alone. This is the core of the gospel. It's the concept of justification through faith. Martin Luther, who was one of the great reformers, said, "When the article of justification has fallen, everything has fallen. This is the chief article from which all other doctrines flowed. It alone begets, nourishes, builds, preserves, and defends the church of God. And without it, the church of God cannot exist for 1 hour. It is the master and prince, the Lord, the ruler, and the judge over all kinds of doctrine." John Calvin says justification of faith is the main hinge on which religion turns. Thomas Watson said justification is the very hinge and pillar of Christianity. An error about justification is dangerous, like a defect in a foundation. Justification by Christ is a spring of the water of life. To have the poison of corrupt doctrine cast into it, the spring is damnable. God does the work. And all throughout the Scriptures, we see how God is faithful. All throughout the Scriptures, we see how in faith God's people go. In faith, God's people believe. In faith, they follow. Because belief is an action. Belief is something that keeps us going, that keeps us striving for something. And in this case, it is the thing that keeps us striving after God. It keeps us going to God and saying, "Lord, what do you have planned for me?" But we also have to look at the majority of church. We have to look at the centuries, the decades, the millennia where we've just not gotten it. And this is where Paul's word from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 comes into hand. I gave you milk because you weren't ready for solid food. There are many Christians who are in the infant stage of faith. They believe that Jesus is Savior, but they never take that next step. They never put their full belief in the Lord. They never allow the Lord to use them. And they never allow the Lord to be fully in charge. They stayed with the milk and they never ate the solid food. Abram believed and it was counted to him as righteousness. Abram walked with God. He listened to God. He believed God and then he went out. It's the question we have to ask ourselves. Do we really trust God? Are we willing to seek God's will in our life? To truly follow God in any way that he wants us to go? Do we really have faith in God that he will fulfill his promise? Do we really have faith that God cares about us? Do we really believe that God's in charge? Because if we do, that's finally when it all starts coming together. That's when the Bible becomes more than just a boring book of stories. That's when the Bible comes alive. God has a plan for every one of us. God tells us in the scriptures that he desires for all of us to go out and spread the good news to a lost and dying world. It's not a works-based thing. It's a faith-based thing. But if we truly don't believe, then we truly don't understand the fact that God has a plan for us. The Lord said to Abram, "Don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." Abram's worry was about not having an heir. He was worried that he was going to have to give all of his stuff to someone who wasn't a blood relative. And God was looking there saying to Abraham, just like he's saying to us, "Don't be afraid. I'm your shield. I'm here to protect you. I am your very great reward." Abram believed this. Abram believed the promise that God made to him when God first called him away from his family. The promise that through his offspring, all nations will be blessed. Abram believed and looked forward to that offspring, who is Jesus. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham, even though he slipped many times, kept that promise from God in mind, and while it took 2,000 or so years for it to be fulfilled, he understood that God was in charge and that God wouldn't forget his promise. You can't look at the scriptures and say it's not Jesus. It says through your offspring, all nations will be blessed. What God has said came true. Abram lived his life looking forward to that promise. The promise that all of us have seen fulfilled, that all nations are blessed through Christ, that God is doing a work, and for even those people who don't know Jesus, just to have someone who knows Jesus walking alongside them, their lives are better. The seed is being planted. We have to ask, are we following in Jesus' footsteps? Are we stepping out in faith, knowing that the grace of the Lord alone is sufficient, knowing that God will provide, and all we need to do is trust in him? It's that song again, trust and obey. I will not sing it, but it's so easy. It's so easy to trust and obey God. We can do it at work. We can do it at home. We can do it at school. I was telling a story again this morning in Sunday school about how I go to bars. I know it's bad. I'm sinning. But every time I go, I meet people. Every time I go, I have the opportunity to talk about Christ. And I was doing it with the bartender this past week, the guy that owns the bar. And I don't tell these stories to make me look like a better person. Please don't put me up on a pedestal. I will yell at you and I'll make sure I'm not on a pedestal. I will bring myself down so quick because I don't want to be up there. I tell these stories because I want everyone to see how easy it is. It's not about holding a sign. It's about being yourself. It's about stepping out in faith and saying, "Lord, I am following you no matter what." And it's not always easy. David and I, we met with a guy who was a president of a college in Pittsburgh last week. And I mentioned, Oh, I have a friend who has a church plant right next to you. And the look on his face, I knew to drop it right then and there. The relationship still needs to be built. It's not ready. He's had bad experiences with Christians. But we're called to go out there. Will you pray with me? Lord, we come before you this morning, seeking your will, looking at the scriptures, and Lord, asking that you challenge us to follow you more, that you challenge us to have more faith, that you challenge us to believe. And that can only come by you giving us that ability, by you filling us with your Spirit, God. We thank you for what you're doing in our area. We thank you for what's going on in our lives, and we just ask that you give us opportunities to bring you to those who are around us, Lord. It's in your wonderful name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.